Tesla's autopilot settlement. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. It's Friday, and that means we're back with another episode of Marketplace Tech Bites Week in Review. This week, the Labor Department confirmed what a lot of Americans have been feeling. Inflation is kind of sticking around, and higher interest rates are likely to as well. We'll look at what that means for venture capital, which was already slow to flow. Plus, the Biden administration announced a $6.6 billion deal with Taiwan-based semiconductor maker TSMC to build a third production hub in Arizona. We check in on the ongoing rollout of the CHIPS Act, which is making this all possible. But first, Tesla has settled a lawsuit in the death of a software engineer killed while driving a Model X using the company's semi-autonomous driving software, Autopilot. The suit placed scrutiny on Elon Musk's claims about the software. Jule Burke-Solomon, managing partner at Collab Capital, explained why the company settled.
The timing of when they settled is very interesting because it was just before jury selection, because this was going to trial. And so I think that they understand probably that there are some difficulties in how the tech is built. Right now, the autopilot feature is really dependent on clear lines on roads. And we know that that's not the case on all roads that Tesla's drivers are on. And even where this accident happened, there was a previous accident that sort of obstructed the view for the Tesla cameras for that particular area. And so I don't think that the leaders at Tesla wanted the information about how the tech is actually built and how it functions to be public, because it likely could open up a lot more lawsuits. This is not the only case that's been brought up in, you know, the injuries and fatalities that have happened related to the autopilot. So it's likely that they didn't want that to reach the public domain.
Right. You know, it's not uncommon for companies to settle on the eve of a trial like this, but certainly there's no doubt this was going to bring on a lot of scrutiny onto Tesla. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board investigated this incident and found that the driver was probably distracted by a video game app on his iPhone. But the NTSB also flagged limitations with Autopilot, Tesla's self-driving tech. Does anything change, do you think, with how Elon Musk, who is basically a one-man PR operation at this point, how he markets this technology and Tesla in general going forward?
I hope something changes. I think that, you know, this accident happened back in 2018. I actually have been a Tesla owner since 2016. And I remember when I purchased my vehicle, there was so much hype around the capabilities of auto drive and autonomous to come. And I think that it really just hasn't lived up to the hype that was put out there. And Elon is partially responsible for really promoting how great the tech is and will be. And I don't think that it lines up with the actual function on the roads. And, you know, even if we compare Tesla and how their technology works against Waymo and some of the other kind of robo-taxis, they're totally different. Companies like Waymo have done a lot more related to mapping roads as a redundancy on top of just the sensors and the cameras. And so I think Tesla has a long way to go when it comes to these features. And hopefully Elon Musk kind of tampers down as far as how he talks about the reliance of these features in the public domain.
Yeah. Well, your point about the hype is well taken. I covered the rollout of Autopilot 8-9 years ago, and hands-free and, you know, let the vehicle take control. That was all part of the pitch here. Yes. And it's really worth remembering that the videos are out there, the images are out there for all to see. Yes. The terms of this settlement, by the way, have not yet been disclosed, and it's not clear if they ever will be. But I do want to move on to inflation. Huge story this week. We got some economic data that showed inflation ticked higher in March, up 3.5% from a year earlier. The print is up slightly from February. So not a lot of reason to think at this point that the Fed is going to start cutting interest rates, at least not imminently. First of all, how do you interpret the data? What is it telling us?
Well, it's telling us a few things. I think that it's saying prices remain higher than we would want them to be. And that's impacting consumers. However, consumers are resilient. It seems like people are still spending money. And so that's a good thing. I think that what it also says for investors like me is that, you know, those hoped for cuts that we were, you know, hoping for, expecting to happen this year, less likely. I think that, you know, hopefully we get one, but it's definitely not going to be anytime soon. And I think that most economists are saying it's probably not going to be this year. It's probably going to be next year.
So how does this change the way you invest?
Well, there's a few things. I think that as a venture capitalist, it still creates this lockup that we've experienced over the past several months, even year, if you will, where there's not a lot of money moving. There's folks that are waiting on the IPO market to open up more broadly. That means LPs are not deploying capital to the same level that they were previously. That means venture capitalists like myself are, it's taking us longer to raise our next funds, which means we are probably a little bit more reluctant to do new deals and really want to kind of sit on the dry powder that we have and make sure that we are really sure about any new companies that we invest in. And so there's really a ripple effect to some of the high rates that we've seen in the market.
So you're sitting on dry powder, but when you are making investments, if you are right now, are you looking for companies that are maybe at a later stage of development than you might have 4 or 5 years ago?
Certainly. The bar is much higher when it comes to what the company is producing, their revenue level, exactly the underlying solution that they're building and how important in that. Is it something that can be resilient in this high rate market? What will the follow-on capital look like for the company? If it's a company that requires debt, will they be able to service the debt given the higher rates? So there are all these considerations that you know, we weren't thinking about a few years ago that are really high on the consideration set for any new company that we're evaluating now. And we're also thinking about those underlying solutions and what are they helping in customers do. So to give an example, we have a company in our portfolio called Rightsee, which is really an AI assistant for people who are looking for jobs. And that's so important right now because of the high rates and because of pricing, people need to be making more money. And so solutions out there that can help them get into better, higher paying jobs are really important. So we're looking at what are ways that we can invest in companies that are going to ultimately help end users to get into better and higher paying jobs?
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Jule Burke Solomon, managing partner at Collab Capital. Well, onto our third and final story. President Biden's CHIPS Act rollout continues. So the administration pledged $6.6 billion this week to TSMC. This is the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. And it allows TSMC to expand its facilities, which it's already building in Arizona. Our colleague Kimberly Adams has been covering this story this week. And a Commerce Department official told her it's been a startup in government getting this project off the ground, getting that money out the door. What's your read?
The startup in government, that really is hard for me to hear because those words in the same sentence don't really make sense. Knowing how typically slow the government moves on anything.
Yeah, maybe a startup by government standards. Maybe we should hedge a little bit.
We need to qualify it. We should qualify it a little bit. But I do think it's exciting that the government is moving with urgency in this arena. I think that from an opportunity perspective, that creates a lot of opportunity in Arizona where this plant is being built in other places where I'm sure they will expand. Back to kind of the previous point that I was saying, where we see opportunity is making sure that people are equipped and ready to take on those the jobs that will eventually come from some of this development. And that's where I think there's an opportunity for the government to really expand the work that they're doing. So it's not just allocating the dollars for the expansion of the plant, but it's also making sure that the ancillary organizations and startups that are in that area have what they need to be able to provide the support services to the plant development and all that will come from those plants being in those ecosystems. So I think it's really important that government takes a holistic perspective and approach to the work that they're doing in this arena.
That was Jule Burke-Solomon at Collab Capital. You can find the full video of this episode of Marketplace Tech Bites Week in Review on our YouTube channel, Marketplace APM. And subscribe, if you haven't already, to watch us every week. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin produced this episode. Rosie Hughes also produces our show. Lydia Ayeno is our intern. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is our senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.